Welcome back to the show. My name is Cody, and we are going to be talking about Big Eva. So what is Big Eva? A lot of people, you know, I've asked a few people this. One of the first people that pop into their head is Stephen Furtick. Even though Stephen Furtick was obviously well-educated at one of the bastions of solid biblical theological training, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and given a degree, no less. They clearly taught him very well.
The same power that made demons flee was in Nazareth, but Jesus could not release it because it was trapped in their unbelief. And there's one thing that even Jesus can't do. Even Jesus cannot override your unbelief. See y'all looking at me like, is that true?
How could you say it is good if you go away? We followed you. We trusted you. And now you're leaving us. No, I am not leaving you. I am changing forms.
Now this is called the Drenchinator. You see it? The Drenchinator. I'm praying about whether to follow through on this illustration. And I hear the Lord say, yes!
Most seminaries, I think this plays into the Big Eva discussion, most seminaries are like Christian Disneyland. You take some time off from your job, and because that obviously would take away from the experience if you were working at your job, they're meticulously planned and polished and wholesome, inoffensive. A lot of actors are walking around, and it's all fun and games until you realize the roller coaster is just a metaphor for your spiritual journey. And the only souvenir you get is crippling debt. By the way, when I made the terrible mistake of going to seminary, I encountered more people whose lives were utterly falling apart than I ever did at my secular, God-hating college and university. Weird. So what exactly is Big Eva? If Stephen Furtick is not Big Eva, what is it? So Big Eva is the group of elites at the tippy top pulling the strings, performing the puppet show. Big Eva is tiny. They are teeny tiny. If you think of things like big pharma or big, I don't know, education or big government, it's not like there's this massive, you know, universal conspiracy with hundreds of thousands of people involved. Usually you get the idea that there are just a tiny handful of elites in a room somewhere, and they're kind of pulling the strings, maybe you could say, or they're like maybe causing things to happen, or they're making decisions that are somehow trickling down and affecting a lot of other people. That's kind of what Big Eva is. When we think big, we think like quantity of people big, but they're not big. They're tiny. They're insignificant. It's like you can fit all of these tiny people in a tiny room and cater Chick-fil-A. There was a famous stupid tweet from a couple months back that said the problem with Big Eva's leaders is that they wear effeminate, soft clothing, who, unlike John the Baptist, like all good pastors, of course, wore camel skin and ate bugs. But Big Eva, they don't generally wear effeminate, soft clothing, especially the leaders. What they wear is suits. They wear suits and ties. They look the way you should look if you're in an elite Christian position. If you're the pastor of some big respectable church, you need to wear a suit. And there's nothing wrong with wearing suits, by the way. I think it's great for a pastor or an elder or a preacher to wear a suit when they're preaching. Like that, you know, that's awesome. But so there's nothing wrong with that per se. But the point is, they don't dress effeminately. They dress appropriately. That's kind of the defining characteristic of Big Eva. They are respectable. People like them. They're not these sinister golem or worm tongue type figures stalking in the darkness. They are Denethor. They are public, well-respected figures. And that's the key, I think, with Big Eva. They primarily care. Their ultimate value, I think, is respectability. And specifically, that respectability takes precedence over truth. Respectability over truth is what Big Eva is all about. Big Eva spends more time polishing their public image than a teenage girl preparing for prom. It's all about the right outfit, the perfect smile, and knowing how to say Jesus loves you without offending anybody. Because heaven forbid we tarnish the reputation of evangelicalism with authenticity. The super trendy pastors like Stephen Furtick and Michael Todd and, you know, other people like that you probably think of, they don't care about respectability. Stephen Furtick will shoot his congregation with a water gun. Mike Todd will, well, Mike Todd will do this.
And some of y'all don't want the cake, but you do want the cookie. I'm gonna let your mind go everywhere it wants to. I need some real comfort. Some condoms, some lotion. Where's my laptop? Oh, here it is. Now, I know some Christians are uncomfortable right now.
When you're thinking of like Big Eva figures, they're not popular. They're not like at the forefront of much. You know, they're not in front of everything. They're kind of behind the scenes. And often they're, I mean, depending on the circle you're in, they're not behind the scenes. They're just respected by kind of an obscure, esoteric group of people. You know, that they are in the seminaries. They're the leaders of respectable, not necessarily super popular, but like still mega churches, churches. And they are, you know, like the presidents of SBC seminaries and people who are just like, you know, respectable, but not necessarily popular. This is kind of cliche, but it's true. Big Eva is like modern Pharisees. Nowadays, we know the Pharisees are the bad guys, but I don't think we often think why the Pharisees were the bad guys. You know, I think, you know, there's a common Christian insult where it's like, oh, that's Pharisaical. But I mean this very thoughtfully and very literally. I think Big Eva is like the modern adaptation of Phariseeism. So I have a story back in the dark days before I was awakened, back when I was a youth pastor. There, we had all this sound equipment, and I don't know anything about sound equipment, and I still don't, but we had a sound person that I would help set stuff up, and I would kind of follow directions and help get set up. And so the little chapel that the youth ministry used was also used by other ministries. And these other ministries, even though there was just a very small group of people in each one, they wanted to use our sound equipment, which was fine. And we eventually started preparing the sound equipment for them because they would mess up everything every week. They would unplug stuff and plug it back in, and they'd plug stuff in wrong and like mess up the whole system. And, you know, the sound person we did have like was no expert by any means. Like she knew a lot, but like, you know, if somebody plugged something into the wrong place, she might have to spend an hour like unplugging and plugging things back in to figure out exactly what's plugged in the wrong place, you know? And so what we started doing is preparing the sound equipment for these people. So one day the women's ministry, who's kind of used to doing their own thing and plugging and unplugging things, pretty much just a couple of weeks after we instituted these new changes. And I told both the ministry leaders that this was going to happen, by the way. So they had ample time to prepare. They had a new speaker that day. They wanted two mics. And so instead of just passing the mic back and forth, they wanted me to like set up a new mic for them, or that they were going to do it themselves. And I very respectfully and gently told them that, well, I need to honor that our sound person, you know, just doesn't want this to happen. Like we had this agreement, we prepared these mics for you. But next time, like if you have another speaker, you can let us know, and then we will absolutely prepare two mics for you. And so she didn't like that, this women's ministry leader. And she said, that sounds like legalism to me. And that blew me away. She was defining legalism as me wanting to follow rules. But I think that is an impression that a lot of Christians have about legalism. And that's just wrong. Like, that's not what legalism is. Legalism is not following the rules. It's exactly the opposite of following the rules. It is the belief that salvation itself comes from following the rules instead of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus even says in Matthew 23, "So you must obey them," referring to the Pharisees. Jesus was telling the people, you have to obey the Pharisees and do what they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. So Big Eva, they're the elites. They're the respectable folk running mega churches. They write books that the other elites write other books quoting. They invite each other to their conferences, and they very winsomely exile anybody who disagrees with them. Their tool is their position. Their tool is their respectability. Their tool is nuance. They want to take truth and nuance it and twist it up and pull pieces out of it to make it as attractive as possible for people. And not all of these people have absolutely malicious intent. I believe a lot of Big Eva people really generally think they're doing the right thing and are genuinely trying to live for God in a faithful way, but they're just failing because their values are out of order. They believe the best way to take truth to people is to rip that truth to shreds and tie it back up to make it as attractive as possible, and then give them the refuse that they made. Big Eva is like that awkward family member or friend that you probably have that tries to avoid controversial topics. They'll tiptoe around issues, and they're afraid of breaking the fragile facade of unity, because nothing says Jesus loves you like a passive-aggressive silence. They are... Big Eva, having met quite a few of them myself, Big Eva are some of the most hateful, bedraggled ivory tower cowards that you will ever have the displeasure of meeting, if you are honored enough to meet them, that is. But what they are is, like I said before, they're tiny. They are nothing. They're not even running the show. They're merely, because they're so respectable and because they write their books and because they've, you know, made their own little weird... Their weird little cult of leaders up in their ivory towers, they appear as the public facade of Christianity in a lot of ways. You know, they're on the shelves of Lifeway, if any Lifeway around you is still open. I think they maybe completely closed all of their locations because their material sucked so bad, being a self-help store with Bible verses on the covers. But Big Eva is nothing. They're not running the show. They're merely this public appearance, and they don't actually have a lot of power. And the only power they have is if you respect them. If you respect their opinions, and you probably shouldn't, you know, that doesn't mean that they can't say anything good. They say all kinds of good stuff, but they also say all kinds of bad stuff. And if our beliefs are dictated primarily by our interest in appeasing the people around us, that's not a good kind of person to follow. Like, even though they've maybe said some helpful things in the past, or they've written some really good books, if you can tell that they change their values or their beliefs, or, you know, if their church stays open or closed based on what the government tells them, like, probably can't trust them. Probably not somebody to trust. And so how do we really fight them? Well, in our own lives, like I said, we don't trust them. We devalue their reputation completely, and that entirely destroys them. That pulls the rug out from underneath them. You don't respect them. You can laugh at them. You can not care. You can point out their hypocrisy to the folks who do respect them. Often when I am like so riled up about some Big Eva goon, I'm talking to my wife or talking to somebody, and it's like, have you ever heard of this guy? And the person is like, no, who's that? It's like, oh, but he's such a big deal. He's not a big deal. They are nothing. They are tiny. They're insignificant. They're ants. And so don't care about them. You know, it's not a big deal. If they say something stupid, then like, yeah, that's a stupid thing that they say. Who cares? Let them wear their suits. Let them pastor their big, dumb mega churches that close whenever the government tells them to. And eventually, on their own, they will die out as the rest of us grow backbones and, you know, find good churches to attend and you know, try to be faithful to Scripture. And as our eyes are opened to this kind of thing, and us as a Christian culture care less about respectability, these people will just eventually die off. It seems like every generation there is a group of people that is respectable. And Jesus says, be wary if all men speak well of you. So that's it's not a good thing if everybody likes you. if a lot of people dislike you, it doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. But if you are doing the right thing, a lot of people are going to dislike you if you're a public figure. And so that's a good measure of if somebody's doing the right thing. Hey, you made it to the end of the episode. Like and subscribe if you want to help spread more content like this that the bad guys don't like. And join the Patreon if you have gotten the value from my podcast that I try to release at least weekly of, say, a cup of coffee. Consider throwing a few bucks my way for, you know, like a cup of coffee, that so I can go buy one and harass the people at Starbucks. Just kidding. I don't shop at Starbucks. And just kidding. It's going to go to like paying for hosting for the podcast. So throw a few bucks my way on Patreon, become a member, and you will have access to my show notes, and you can message me and suggest new episode ideas and so on. Thanks for listening, and I will catch you in the next episode. God bless.